1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Please read.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
St. Paul is saying, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come showing you that I am very scholar in talking, like a professor of English or something. I came to you with the speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He was saying, I did not come here to show forth the wisdom of the world. I'm not a good scholar giving very excellent speech. But he says, only one thing I have, the testimony of God in me. There are people can prepare the preaching and preach, but the preaching comes from the Word of God, and preaching comes from the heart of God. That's what it counts. So he is saying, only thing I wanted to know when I come to you, Jesus Christ, who crucified for us. Without that, there is no power, there is no salvation, there is no life. Verse 3 says, and when he said, when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, Paul always talks about God has not given us the spirit of fear. Then what kind of fear he is talking about? He is not talking about the fear from the enemy. He is talking about, I was little bit uncomfortable among you. I had that fear that you are watching every word what I'm preaching, finding fault or something in my grammar or whatever I'm saying, if those words are words of intelligent person or what. That's what I was thinking when I came to you. Because Paul was very bold man, very highly educated man, but he is so humble. He is not trying to say, I have a PhD degree, I know much more than you, but I am here, I am not that highly educated in the word. Means, not biblical words, in their language. These people were speaking in Greek words, and they were speaking in Latin language. So Latin and Greek was very, very well-known language in that particular time, just like today's English. So when I read this, I think the same way. When I came here to USA, I was not an English preacher. And so when I come here to study the language and preach, sometimes the enemy will come and say, you are not preaching proper English. And so, if I start thinking like that, I will never be preaching in English. But I'm not looking for grammar. Just like St. Paul, I am preaching the Christ crucified, and I am preaching the wisdom of God. And that's what the Paul is trying to say. He says, when I came there with a weakness and much fear that you might be watching me making mistakes, and that was my fear. And I was with you people like a trembling, fearing that you people find some mistakes in my speech. Verse 4, please read.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
So now he's saying, my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom. So I was not enticing you and saying some beautiful words to catch your attention. But he says, I was not preaching even the man's wisdom. That means showing that I know language very well. You might have seen some preachers. When they preach, you have to take a dictionary to find out what he was saying. Or they will tell you the stories from different authors instead of telling what the Bible says. So they will tell you other author stories and thinking that they are very good readers. They are reading so many magazines. They are reading so many newspapers. They are reading so many books. And they have so much knowledge. And that's what they are trying to preach and impress people, that they are very highly educated people. But the Bible says we don't have to impress people with that. There are people in the world, they have very good vocabulary. They are professor of English or different languages, but they will not have the wisdom of God if they are not saved. So he says, I did not come with man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he says, I was showing you what kind of spirit I have and what kind of power God has given me. That means when he was there preaching and teaching, not only that, people were getting saved, healed, delivered, and set free. So that's the kind of power of God you can show to the people what God is doing. Preaching is easy, but living life of Christ is not easy. So here the St. Paul is saying, I have that Spirit of God, and I have that power of God, and that's what I am trying to preach and teach you. Verse 5.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When you go to Bible college, the nominal Bible college, they have almost like a 8 to 12 years of study. And when you go there, you learn geography, you learn history, and you learn all kinds of things. But they teach very little about the spiritual matters. And when they come from taking the degree, they would not know the scriptures about salvation. So here the St. Paul is saying, I am not preaching the wisdom of man. I'm not preaching the doctrine of man. I am preaching the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that's what we need. God's word has power. And God's word has life. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, that will change the mankind. Today, one lady, this morning, I was talking to somebody. And when the lady said, you know, I listened to your program and I really enjoy your program. You talk about faith and miracles and things like that. My life is changing. But I don't think that God can heal me instantly. He might take time, a couple of years or maybe more. Because God's timing is not our timing. Sounds so good. I said, can we read the Word of God and see what the Word of God is saying? I said, read the Mark chapter 11 and start reading from verse 22. What the Word of God is saying here.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Okay, now it starts with like this, have faith in God. So the Saint Paul is saying, your faith should not be stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So he said, you have to have faith in God. Once you have faith in God, and just read verse 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
How much clearer we should have it. He said, when you pray, you believe. And what you prayed, you believe that you received it. And then you'll have it. Otherwise, we pray and say, well, maybe God doesn't want to give it to me now. Maybe later, maybe a couple of years later. And that's the way you believe, that's the way you're going to get it. So once you believe that I prayed and I asked God and God wants to heal me, 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, and the word of God says, with his stripes, we are healed. Once you believe that he already provided the healing, now only I have to believe it and receive it. When I give this word to the sister, she read it, I said, you read at least 3 times, and then you would know what the word of God is saying. Then she starts saying, I don't think I have that kind of faith. I said, once you start reading the word of God, the faith will rise up. And once you pray about some matter, believe that it's done and start praising God and you will have the answer. The Paul is saying, I am not preaching the wisdom of man and I don't want you to having the wisdom of man. Wisdom of man is not the same the wisdom of God. He says, I want to develop your faith by the word of God and by the power of God. So you will have faith in God, not faith in man. Sometimes we put our faith in man, trust in man. But the word of God says, do not trust any man, do not trust any king. We trust in God. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
So he's saying, I am teaching the wisdom of God, and this wisdom of God is not the worldly wisdom. He says, even the princes, the kings, and the highly educated people of this world, they have a lot of wisdom, but their wisdom will vanish away. The wisdom of God never ceases, but the wisdom of man ceases. Some people learn a lot, and some people get old and start forgetting. Whatever they learn, sometimes they forget. And sometimes people even get senile, so they would not remember anything. So whatever the wisdom of man was, is gone. And sometimes they die, they finish. So God's wisdom is always there and it never vanishes away. So we have to have the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. Then somebody says, don't you think we should go and study something? Yes, you go and study and learn everything. But all you study and learn, but if you don't have God, everything is vanity. Without God, learning is useless. But once you have God and you put God first, and then whatever you do, it will work. Without God, you start doing something, it will not work. So what I'm trying to say, we learn to trust in God. Okay, let's go to verse 7.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
So what he's trying to say, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What does it mean? After the day of Pentecost, God has given the mystery of the kingdom of God to mankind. Up to now, we didn't know the mystery of the Godhead. Now we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No one in the Old Testament preached what we're preaching today. Not a Moses or Elijah or David or Daniel or Joseph said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They didn't have any clue. But now we know the wisdom of God, and God has revealed to us the heart of God. So he says, why? That is unto our glory. That means God wants to give his glory to you. Once you start giving God's wisdom and God's power showing forth, people are going to say, hey, isn't it Peter and James and John and Andrews? They were fishermen. Where this wisdom they got? And they said, you know what? They were with Christ. Because of they were with Christ, they have this wisdom. That's what it is. When you stay with the Word of God, stay with the God's people, you learn a lot. So the Word of God is saying, God has given us this wisdom, this mystery, to reveal to other people. Then they will see that this is God's wisdom, and this is God's power, and this is God's mystery. So once you are born again, your eyes, spiritual eyes, opens, and then you would know what is the wisdom of God and what is the mystery of God and what is this salvation is all about. Read verse 8.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Now what he's trying to say, this wisdom, this mystery, or this God's power, if they knew the wisdom of God, if they knew what Jesus Christ is all about and why Jesus Christ came into this world, if they knew he was the God himself, they would not crucify Jesus Christ. So he said, with a man's wisdom, you cannot understand God and God's power. So he says, if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9.
But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Now in this word, many times we read and we talk about the material blessings. It doesn't mean that you would not get material blessing, but many times people are thinking, oh, you never saw, you never heard, you never even thought. And those are the things God has given to you, and you can get it. But he is saying, all these things are kept for whom? The people who love God. You have to have love for God, and then God says, godly thing he will reveal to you. How is revealed? Let's read the verse 10, and then you know.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
That's what he's saying. All of these things you did not see with your eyes. Now, for example, he says God is going to give you a blessing which you did not see with your eyes. Now, you didn't see. Now, you're thinking about car. You didn't see the car, but somebody saw the car. So there are things visible. You can see it. He's not talking about the car you didn't see God is going to give it to you or things like that. He's talking about the spiritual things. We did not see heaven with our own eyes. We did not see God the Father with our own eyes. We did not see the Christ with our own eyes. Once we set our mind on Christ, then he says, God will reveal to you all of these things by his Spirit. And he says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. So that means to know about God, search about godly things, you have to be born again. If the person is not born again, he is not going to search godly things. he's not going to think about heaven and heavenly things, because his mind is not set yet on the things of God. Once your heart is set in the things of God, then you would not worry about timing. When I was newly born again, I could hardly keep the Bible down. I was so interested to know everything. Start reading from Genesis to Revelation, or start reading Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 and then put Bible down. Once you are hungry and thirsty, then the Word of God says you will be filled. You have to be hungry and thirsty for the spiritual things. When you love God and you follow God, then God knows your needs. That's why the Matthew chapter 6, 33 is all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things or other things the world is looking for, those things will be added unto you. So you do not have to worry about tomorrow's things. Once you love the Lord and follow the Lord, and then God will give it to you, everything what you need. What we need, you know, we need spiritual blessing first. Your spirit has to be satisfied first. Do you know when the devil came to Jesus Christ and started saying, you can make this stone bread? And he knew that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He can do that. He can take the stone and make a bread. He would have said, hey, thank God. Oh, thank you, sir. You gave me a good idea. I was thinking about doing some miracle. And thank you, you told me I can do it. And if you would have done it, what would have happened? That means he obeyed the Satan. One thing. And he was not thinking about spiritual things, but he was thinking about material things. So what Jesus says, it is written. What he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word comes out of the mouth of God, we live. That means there is a life in the Word of God. So he says, I am not here to just take the material things or this food and live. I am living by the Word of God. And that's what we have to learn. Once we have Christ in us, we do not worry about food, we do not worry about shelter, we do not worry about any other material things. The material things follows you as you follow the Lord. So what I'm trying to say, our spiritual hunger should be first. When our spirit is tuned with God, then we do not worry about the other things. Other things comes by its own. Then somebody will say, don't you need these things? Yes, we need, but he supplies on due time. I believe God supplies all our needs. What he says in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, please read. He says, delight in the Lord and what? He will give the desires of your heart. Okay, let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
Okay, now what is trying to say in 11th verse? What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He says, if the man can know the things of man, how can he know? Because he has the same, the spirit of man. That's what these psychologists, psychiatric doctors, they know about you because they are men. They can understand the man. The psychologists think they study the man. How the man talks, how the man behaves, and how man works. And they study about so many people, thousands of people. And they make a theory. This kind of person acts this way. That kind of person acts this way. And that's why he says it works. Because they have the spirit of man and they can understand the things about man. And so that's why they learn about the theory about man. And they can learn and they can understand man. That's why he says they have the spirit of man, they can understand man. But at the same way he says, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So same way, if you want to know more about God, you have to have his spirit. You cannot understand God with the spirit of man. The psychologist or psychiatric or a medical doctor will not understand what the God is all about. That person has to be born again to know the things of God. Not because he is very highly educated and he knows psychology, he cannot understand the psychology of God. He would not understand how God works. He can only understand how the man's brain works, how the behavior of man is. But the psychologist will not find out how the God behaves and how the God is all about. To understand God, he says, you have to have the Spirit of God. Let's read verse 12.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Now he says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he says, you know, if you want to know more about God, again he says, God has given everything freely. To get saved, you don't have to pay money. To receive the Holy Spirit, you don't have to pay any money. To understand the Bible, you don't have to pay any money. That's why the Word of God says, freely receive, freely give. That's why I like to give everything free. The Word of God is given us freely. And whatever we have freely, we have to freely give. You cannot purchase the power of God with money. So here he's saying, God has given you everything freely. Freely is given by God. So we should be using God's power, God's gifts, for his glory. Okay, verse 13.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Okay. So he says, God has given these things. How? By the Spirit of God. That's why we teaching this wisdom of God and showing you spiritual things. So without God's power, without God's grace, without God's wisdom, we will be not able to teach you the spiritual thing. Comparing spiritual thing with spiritual. And how I'm teaching? By the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. And that's what we is teaching, spiritual thing. You cannot go to some school and they are using the books are not written by the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand the person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit and he is teaching on the Holy Spirit. You understand the point? There are people do not know the Holy Spirit, didn't fill with the Holy Spirit, and they are teaching on the Holy Spirit. And when you learn from them, finally they will tell you the wrong teaching. Sounds very spiritual, sounds very knowledgeable, but will come the back zero. That's what he's saying. God has given us the Holy Spirit and we are preaching and comparing the spiritual thing with spiritual. Then only we can teach the spiritual things. You cannot comparing Holy Spirit teaching with a person who doesn't know anything about Holy Spirit. Or he is against of Holy Spirit. So you cannot go and study and learn from them. If somebody is going and taking just a degree for the namesake, that's fine. But to teach somebody, you have to have the spiritual knowledge. Verse 14.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Right. Now it's very simple. He says the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The man says, I cannot stay more than 45 minutes in the church because I cannot sit more than that. Because people have practiced going to some church 15-minute service, and so they say 15-minute service is good, like a fast food service. You go to the McDonald's and you can get the food within 5 minutes and you are out. But if you go to the good restaurant and you give the order and then they cook for you and you wait for the food to be cooked and then you get the good food, or you come home and your mother or your wife cook the food and that takes time, but you need fast food. So fast food makes you sick. So same way, he says, people want to go to church, stay there 15 minutes and go out. And those people will not learn anything, because he says natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because their mind is bombarded with a worldly thing. When you talk to somebody about spiritual matter, it sounds like a foolishness. They do not want to even hear. They don't want to listen. They said, you know, it's going over my head. I don't want to know. The Word of God says, all the natural man is not thinking about spiritual things. Verse 15.
But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
He said, the spiritual man judgeth all things, but nobody can judge him. How come? Because once you are in the Lord, and you are in the Spirit of God, and you telling the right thing, nobody can judge you. And you saying everything spiritually right, quoting the right scriptures, telling the right thing, you have no fear of somebody judging you. And they have no even authority to judge you. We can judge the angels. God has given us power and authority to do that. But the natural man cannot judge the spiritual man. Okay, verse 16.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
That's what he says. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? He is trying to say there is no psychologist, there is no psychiatric person can check the mind of God. No man has power to check what God is thinking and what is God is all about. Natural man cannot tell God that you're making mistake. Who will instruct the Lord? Who will teach the Lord what to do, what not to do? You cannot tell God what to do. Sometimes people say, Lord, do this, do this. God knows everything. You just asking God to do a favor. You cannot demand God, you cannot command God, you cannot force God to do anything, because we are human beings. God is powerful. We have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ comes once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we do not have the wisdom and the knowledge of this world, so we can teach the wisdom of this world. But you have given us your Spirit, your power, your Holy Spirit, your wisdom for your glory, so we can teach people the spiritual matter comparing with the Spirit, and tell the people what is from the Lord and what is not from the Lord. So give us grace to understand your will and follow you. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. You have given us grace to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Without you, we are nothing. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Be with us, sanctify us, use us for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.